This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. When we left you, Lance teased something, saying that a player has promised a city something spectacular. And that
now,
would be...
Now, it's a different... It involves beer, but it's a different beer than you're used to. Okay.
What?
So I'm not going to say... I'm not even going to give him the light of day. But I am going to say that there is a beer company who has decided to honor Lane Johnson's promise to buy everyone in Philadelphia beer if the Eagles win a Super Bowl. I have a lot to prove to the city, Johnson told reporters following the team's open practice at Lincoln Financial Field Sunday. I think if we have a few big years and make playoffs, if we are, if we win a Super Bowl, I'm going, I'm giving out beer to everybody. A beer company, a big national company, said, "Hey Lane, let's make a bet. Win it all, and the party is on us. Deal." And so, this company has not forgotten about our commitment to Lane Johnson, the Eagles, and the city of Philadelphia. We will be sharing plans soon, but in the interest of not jinxing the team and ahead of their upcoming game, we are not going to unveil any plans at this time. We wish the Eagles the best of luck. So, if Lane Johnson and the Eagles win, apparently this beer company says it's going to buy the city of Philadelphia beer. And if there's any city that needs alcohol, it's Philadelphia, because they're just so passive and they just need to come out of their shell a little bit.
Well, there's no question that every Eagles fan is short on beer. They're just there just isn't enough.
No, it's a dry city.
Did you happen to see that the Vikings fans now, because Philadelphia is coming up there, that they're planning on throwing stuff at Eagles fans as they're walking into the stadium this
Let
next week?
Let me tell you, this is, do you understand something? This is something I was talking to Daniel Jeremiah about last night. I said, here's basically what's going on. It's the two most annoying fan bases. Well, one is the most annoying now, the Patriots, and part of it's because they've won a lot. So the Patriots, I would say right now amongst NFL fans, they're in the top two most annoying, right?
Oh, yeah.
Easily. And the Eagles are card-carrying. They're dangerous. They're dangerous people. I mean, the Eagles fans are dangerous, and they revel in the fact that they booed a little girl who had an artificial hand sewed onto her wrist, and she threw out the first pitch, which, by the way, was an incredibly stupid idea by the Phillies to ever put that girl in that position, but they did, and the fans booed her. Santa Claus booed. They revel. This is a badge of honor. We booed a kid with an artificial hand. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Like, wow. We booed Santa. We pelted Santa with snowballs. Like, I know. That's y'all's thing. I get it. You're the worst fans in the world. You booed. You cheered when Michael Irvin might have been paralyzed. I get it. I know how you guys are. Well, now those two fan bases are going to clash in icy cold Minneapolis. And there is a chance that one of them could destroy the other, and we might be rid of one of the fan bases. All you hope is that they gather together, and one of them inflicts as much damage on the other fan
base. Well, how about if
that's all you can hope for?
What would be awesome was if Raider fan actually
showed up,
and we had a three-way.
Yeah.
Right?
You usually don't want to be involved in three ways with Raider fans, but in this case, okay.
Some kind of Anchorman fight would be awesome. All of a sudden, here's Raider fan coming out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. What are you doing here? Your team sucks. Yeah, but we got Gruden now. Do you believe that John Gruden is going to be, and that he's going to make a difference? I don't. I really don't.
I think he was a
good coach. Not a great coach.
He did a pretty damn good job in Tampa. I didn't think they were talented at all. And I thought...
Really?
At the end. I didn't think his roster was talented at all. And he won like 9 games. I thought it was pretty miraculous. But he was also in charge of helping to put that roster together.
A lot of that was on him.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that would be that way with Reggie McKenzie. It'll be interesting to see because Reggie is the clear-cut GM. So I'm interested in seeing how the division of power... rest between John Gruden and Reggie McKenzie, because that's, if you're Reggie, man, you don't want the head coach getting all that power.
No. No, you can't. You can't. You just can't. Especially when you see what he did with all of those great players that he had in Tampa, and he turned them into just an average roster. You just can't. Now he does have a 10-year deal, and he is, you know, thought of to be their savior. So you might that might be a power struggle that you can't win. So I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Hopefully that John Gruden went there. He's got respect for Reggie McKenzie, and they can work together. Otherwise, why would he have gone if he didn't think, you know, that it was a good situation?
You know, this is what's pretty cool about the NFL. It can be also be very frustrating, but the one thing you can say about the NFL is because of the parity and the way it's designed and set up, and it's just the whole construct, it precludes there being super teams like LeBron has put together, like the Golden State Warriors have put together. It doesn't really work that way. You know, the money is, you'll go where the money is, and if the money's in, you know, a place that's maybe not as great to live or whatever, it's cold, well, that's just how it goes. I mean, that's what it is. And you don't have the same situation in the NBA where guys pick and choose and are doing what they're doing. So, and I say this because I'm thinking of the Raiders. I would have sworn last year, before the season started, that the come-up was the Raiders and the Bucks. I mean, Derek Carr and Jameis Winston, those are the two teams to watch. They're the two teams coming. And now, after this year with the Raiders, first of all, I think it clearly looks like the Jacksonville Jaguars are that team now. And, you know, with or without Bortles, I think they have a great chance of being in the AFC Championship game again next year. And I'm not even sure what the Raiders situation even looks like, because Derek Carr, who looked like a really good growing, you know, a quarterback who's getting better and better, I thought he took a massive step back. Amari Cooper basically quit football last year, but just kept wearing the pads and running around. And that's how quickly it can – I mean, it can change instantly for NFL teams, both positively and negatively. And I think that's why fan bases stay engaged. In baseball, you know, if you have – like, you go into 162 games knowing pretty much who you're going to be. You know, if you're not expected to be good, you're probably not going to be good.
No, right. No.
Same thing with basketball.
Well, how about no team – the Texans were considered in 2013, were considered a Super Bowl contender and won two games. When have you ever seen in another sport that, honestly, to go from a team that many considered would be a contender for the title to the worst team in the league? That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, and it happened pretty much, and that's how, you know, Jack Del Rio doesn't have a job. Mike Vrabel, interesting comments yesterday. Listen to his press conference, and this is going to start a bit of a firestorm. I would imagine college coaches now are going to be asked all about this, how Mike Vrabel is their daddy now, and every NFL coach is their daddy.
The NFL has the greatest farm system in the world. We pay our farm system coaches $10 million to develop players. Nick Saban is our farm system. Urban Meyer is our farm system. So those are the types of players that they're developing. Those are the types of players that are playing in high school. That's where the game's at.
Well, what does that mean exactly?
It means what we all know. They're just getting guys ready. It's our farm system. That's it.
But he's complimenting them too, because they're paying a ton of money. I don't think – I mean, he's clearly, I would imagine, close with – I would imagine probably pretty close to the Ohio State program.
Well, he worked for Urban, right?
Yeah, so I think that's a compliment to Urban, right?
I guess it is.
Play that again. I'm trying to
telling the world is college football ain't about the love of the academics or it ain't the student athlete. These guys are our minor league system, which the NCAA would not like to be out there, but we all know to be the case. He's just the first NFL coach to ever say it out loud.
That's right. And I don't imagine that Roger Goodell is all that thrilled. And I wouldn't imagine that Oliver Luck is going to be all that thrilled.
Because then it starts to open up. Wait a minute. If these guys are our minor league system, in other minor league systems, the guys get paid.
That's right.
Yes, but there's also legitimate minor league systems. Like there's a minor league basketball. There is no minor league football.
Listen, we had Jim Crane in studio. Remember, they've cut two of their teams. What do they have? They had seven, right? Seven minor league teams, and now they're down to five. And he was like, it's just too many guys. It's just ridiculous how many guys that you – and, oh, by the way, he has to pay all of those. When I grow up, I want to own a minor league team. You don't have to pay any of the guys. When I grow up, I want to own a major college football team like Boone Pickens does.
Or Tillman does.
Yeah.
Tillman owns a pro. Is he the only college football owner and pro basketball
owner? Yes. He's the only one in the world that owns both a pro and a college team. So you don't have to pay the people that are bringing all that are making all of your revenue. In other words, you can produce a product, your widget, whatever your widget is, with no cost, and then go out and sell it. It's awesome. And here, Mike Vrabel actually admitted it. So now it's opened up a huge.
He admitted what we all knew.
Yeah. But you can't ever say it. You can't ever say it.
It's right. Why is he saying what's obvious since there's a draft every year?
I love Jay Billis. Jay Billis was dead on the other day. You know, this stuff started last week with, the thought that you could, will you be able to, they're gonna look into being able to transfer without sitting a year, or they're going to look into how many schools that you can be denied if you want to transfer, and all of those things they're going to look at. And he said, you know, nothing. Jay Billis said when he was in college, he was on the board for the future of college athletics, to look at the future of college athletics and where it was going to go and lead it into a great direction. And he goes, we failed miserably, obviously. But here's the deal, is the only way that anything will ever change is if players banded together and struck. If college football, all the players in college football said, we ain't playing another down until we straighten this out. Now, it'll never happen.
Horrific, that'd be a horrific decision.
Well, it would be horrible. But remember, it wasn't long ago that Northwestern actually voted on whether they were going to become a union.
And it was not met with very much excitement. I'm going to tell you what.
Of course it's not going to be met with excitement, because, you mean that they're going to actually get some power for the players and they're actually going to be to actually gain something?
Let me tell you how it would be viewed. It would be viewed in a very similar fashion to the way a lot of people have handled players kneeling during the national anthem. It would be met with unbelievable derision and anger from college fan bases and alumni who view them as getting free educations and all that. And I just think it would be in very, very poorly for college athletes. Plus, there are some guys who, I mean, let's face it, there are some guys who are the money producers, and they produce, and there are other guys who are there who are, you know, student athletes in the traditional sense. There's a division of players that there are certain guys who are going to a farm system, and there are other guys who are going for what college is, you know, theoretically supposed to be, the student athlete.
Yeah,
there are plenty of guys who end up going for that, because a majority of the players will not be drafted.
No, I get that.
A high majority of players will not be drafted.
I get that, but we got John Clay Wolf waiting here. We'll continue on the other side. I'm all for them striking and getting as much as they, because forever the NCAA has been about money making and placating the professional leagues, as opposed to worrying about the college student. And with that, we bring in John Clay Wolf, who's worried about getting your car if you give him the VIN.com. Give me the VIN.com. Give me the VIN.com. He will give you top dollar. And now is a great time to deal in the car, right?
You hit such a beautiful segue yesterday, and it was laid up for you this morning, and you missed it, so I'll pick it up. The money producer thing, just like me. John Clay Wolf, I produce the money for you guys.
Show him the money.
Turn him into money.
Yep. And you will show people the money every day.
No, we do. I bought two cars out of Houston, out of the Woodlands this morning off of an individual, a 2015 C63 hot rod Mercedes and a Corvette that he had gone to CarMax and he had gone to Texas Direct and he'd come to us, and he confirmed this morning, and I actually was just hanging up with him. But yeah, we buy cars left and right. That's our business. And on the trade-ins, if you think you're getting, if they're lowballing, you go to givemethevin.com and double check it. And we will honor, like if we give you $20,000 and your dealer that you're trying to trade in is at $18,000, we'll give you the $20,000 through your dealer so you preserve your tax credit. We'll just buy it from your dealer. So the other guys won't do that. We will.
How about that? See, and so you can deal with whoever you want to deal with, and John Clay Wolf will pay it off for you. And if he can't beat CarMax's offer, he's just going to give you $100. That happens every day at GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. You can hear him Saturday mornings as well right here on ESPN 97.5 from 9 until noon. Buying cars and your car, giving you the best price. It is a great, great time for you to sell your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, keeping in tune with the last segment, here's John Calipari talking about players going to Kentucky.
We don't get every kid. I've said that all along. We get the ones that need to come here. Others choose not to, and that's fine. That's their choice. Obviously, the kids that have come here are worth over $1 billion.
Yeah, that's what?
Who talks like that in a press conference? That's like what you say when you're hanging out with your buddies drinking, like, guys, make your $1 billion.
Billion. I think it was he doing them. 1 million. Except is that what he was trying to do?
1 billion.
Billion. But he said, but it was
right.
A
and what he's basically saying is players come here who need to come here. Do you know what he's saying? He's basically telling you, guys come here who are. We're farming them to the NBA.
That's it.
They're the best players who want to go one and done, and he's fine with that.
Well, did you see
his thing is I want to win championships.
Did you see the 30 for 30 on him?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was good, and it was all about, you know what? I'm sending guys to the pros. It's what I do. That's
yeah,
what we do.
I had a friend, and he's actually been on the show, Steve Rockford, who coached with, you remember Rock, big Astros
yeah.
fan. Rock coached with Calipari in Memphis, and Rock was one of his big recruiters before he got his chance to be a head coach. And, you know, I asked Rock one time, I said, what do y'all do with – because remember, that was a big deal at the time. What do you do with – you have all one-and-dones. Like, you constantly are hitting reset. He goes, Z, we got the best chance to win. We got the best players. He goes, as long as you have the best players, you got the best shot. And that's true.
Yeah.
Even at 18 years old, you got the best shot to win if all of them are really, really good. But that's a different thing. You know, there's a lot of schools who aren't trying to do that and who do pepper their roster with guys who are good basketball players but not necessarily going to be great pros. Because there is such a thing as a good college player and not a great pro player in all sports. But, you know, here's my thing, John, getting back to the paying players thing. I'm not going to, and I'm talking from a Lance Zierlein standpoint now, father of children. I care so much less about Nick Saban making $10 million and the athletic department's making tons and tons of money at certain universities, not all, and players getting paid. I care so much like why would my focus be on making sure players get paid instead of making sure that I can that somehow college. Tuition gets under control. It's so out of control, it's impossible. The average person is going to take on substantial debt, or the student is going to take on substantial debt. They already have been. They already you probably saw how expensive it was, I'm sure, with Frankie, unless she had some scholarship I didn't know about. You know, you got to see it with Steffi, your other daughter. John Tyler, you've been lucky enough to have him on scholarship. I can tell you right now, my kids aren't getting scholarships, not athletic scholarships. I don't see that happening. And the prices, I really truly looked into it, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. So why am I going to care about a player getting paid right now more than I'm going to care about if Nick Saban made $7 million and somehow more of the money that came into the athletic funneled to the university, which, by the way, gives them the opportunity to make that. I mean, if the universities and the collegiate system isn't in place, to have this opportunity to build these huge brands that make so much money. A lot of it goes to the athletic and doesn't go to the school side. Can they do anything to help tuitions a little bit on the athletic side? Anything?
Is this sounds like you're begging now. Okay. This sounds.
I just want to know. Like, I didn't used to be that guy until I got college staring me in the face. Now, I'm like, Jesus,
And you're going to have.
How much is it?
You're going to have like 12 kids all at once in college. It is going to be a nightmare. A nightmare for you. No, I get it. Nick has got three kids in college at the same time. He's going to try to get. He's going to talk to one of the colleges to get lowered because he's going to have three at once. And it's just ridiculous. It's out of. You're right. It's out of control, and you have to. If you don't go to college, you are at such a disadvantage. And nowadays, if you don't get some kind of a post-college degree, you're at a huge disadvantage as well. When we were growing up, if you got a college degree, you were ahead of the game. Now, that's what everybody's getting. Now you've got to get some kind of MBA or law degree or something. Otherwise, you know, you're behind. And that's even more expensive, especially for someone who couldn't control themselves like you and had 12 kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's on you. Okay, so stop begging right now.
I'm just not going to say, when can these stipends go higher? Because they need money. I'm just not going to.
Here's the deal, Lance. That's coming from.
But
you're
no one
right.
gives a crap about my side at all.
The athletic departments are paying for that. It's all a separate deal. So, right. And when you look at what Texas A&M made in revenues, and you go, what the bleep? And you can't pay, you can't give these kids some of that. But when you went look at, it's okay to pay, you know, the LSU Athletic Foundation, that it's okay to pay Ed Orgeron or whomever. Oh, no, their assistant, their DC is making $2.5 million. What the hell? And you can't give the kid something? And you're going to tell this kid if you want to transfer, I'm going to limit the schools that you can go. Really? I mean, there is nothing in place for the kids. That's my problem with it. Let's get Heck in here. He wants to talk about this subject. What do you say, Heck?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Love y'all's show. I just wanted to comment on what y'all were talking about. I'm kind of in the situation where I don't like the talk about players getting paid in college, like they're not getting anything, because they are. Y'all were just talking about it. They are getting something for free, and that's an education. Which is pretty expensive. I was fortunate enough to play sports in college, but I wasn't fortunate enough to get a scholarship, so I had to pay my way, plus get to play sports. And I think some of these guys who are wanting to get paid in college that are good enough to, continue their career into the pros, those guys, more than likely, if they're that good, they're going to make more money in their first year or their first contract than most people make in 10 years. So, you know, I don't feel bad about these guys who are not getting paid in college. And I know that the sports and the teams, they make a lot of money for the colleges. But in my opinion, what makes more money for the colleges is tuition, which everybody has to pay. So I feel like those players should feel lucky that they're getting that for free and take advantage of it while they have the chance.
Yeah,
and that's just my opinion.
Yeah,
I just wanted to comment on
it. Gotcha. And you know what? That is a prevailing opinion. Here's the deal, though. Your point about those guys making so much money, that's such a small percentage. And here's the deal, is the NCAA – here's one of the problems. One of the things that I just don't get is when you're at an athlete in basketball or football, you can't work a job. Okay, you're putting
that's
in.
That's archaic.
It's so stupid. And oh, by the way, if a car dealer now it would have to be probably limited because that's how you would buy players. Because let's say Baker Mayfield using his why can't he use his popularity and his fame to sell cars for a car dealer there?
Because it's not available to every other student.
Well, yes, it is. But if they were famous like Baker Mayfield, then they could do the same.
They're not, and that's why it's not.
Well, wait a minute. But Baker Mayfield is famous because of all the work that he's done throughout his life and to get to this point, and his ability has gotten him to this point. If you're a swimmer, If you're a female swimmer, you know, if you're a female swimmer and you can go and get some kind of, well, let's say you're pretty and you're a female swimmer and you can get a modeling job, then go get that modeling job. Okay? But why Baker Mayfield can't use his popularity and his fame to make money for himself is beyond me.
But the answer is it's not equitable because he's a quarterback. He's going to have a greater opportunity than a guard, for example. So it's not even equitable on their own team. That's going to be the answer, John. It's supposed to be equitable.
Well, why is it supposed to be equitable? Okay, so Baker Mayfield won the Heisman Trophy and he's going to make millions of why does it have to be equitable? I forget. Baker Mayfield is more popular, sells more tickets, sells more jerseys.
He's going to have advantages.
People go, they win football games because of Baker Mayfield. I forget, where's that? Why is that? Does that have to be equitable?
Well, you don't think there's advantages to everything you just said? First of all, I'll just say this: Smash City, and we'll just leave that right there.
Well, okay,
so
you can smash
Rodrigo
every girl at OU. Okay, great, but that doesn't put food on the table.
Well, it could if he plays it right.
Well, yeah, they could cook for you too. They'll make you a sandwich after.
Mm-hmm.
I love that part.
Was working, so I don't know, but no, I mean it's because once again we're talking financial because everything you're talking about is a financial. As long as there's a financial component, it's not going to be because you open yourself up to lawsuits.
It is.
That's one of the big concerns. Is you're going to get Title IX. You're going to get Title IX rammed down your throat.
Well, wait a minute. In some schools, like at University of Connecticut, those girls are more famous than the football players. So you know what they could do? They could. If you're more famous, then guess what? You can go make money too.
They can't either. That's what's fair.
No. Wait. So it's fair. So nobody makes money. Instead, Gino or Emma and Connecticut basketball, women's basketball makes money, but not the kids.
But let me ask you something. I hear what you're saying.
I'm not saying the school pay them either.
You still haven't taken care of my tuition.
This is well, I forgot we were on your
figure
tuition.
Figure something
we're all
out
worried
to where
about you.
You.
Yeah,
I forgot
you
we were on your tuition.
Well, no.
But
what you guys are actually
talking about,
guys.
And here's the thing: I don't want the school to pay them.
100.
You know what? They're getting their education, and that's fine. And if the school does, and that's all fine and good. But let the kids go. If they can make outside money, why should the NCAA care?
Look, I'm with you, John. I think the rule. First of all, you guys can joke about like Dell can say, "Oh, we're worried about you." Well, you're talking about what 80 football players, and let's just use all. You really think that 300 people in all of the athletics outweighs at Michigan, whatever, 30,000 people going there? No. You're talking about a very, very small percentage that you're worrying much more about than the other people. So I do think if you want to get people in your favor, you're going to have to look out for college
education prices. It is interesting that apparently the real world doesn't exist when you're in college because when you get into the real world, no one cares about equity. It's all about how popular you are. Why all of a sudden college is about the fairness value? Because once you get out of college, there's no fairness.
And by the way, you want to talk about equitable. You know what the best business student at the University of Michigan can go out and make? Or the best IT student, if he can develop some kind of new app or whatever he develops, he can make all the money in the world.
Yes.
But an athlete cannot.
Right. Right.
Where is that equity?
That is broken. What Dell's talking about is, Dell, as long as you are getting the free education, the scholarship, you don't have to pay, there are going to be rules and stipulations. That's just the way it is.
It's not
equity.
Like they're just giving away scholarships. There's
no,
a there's
John,
a clear aspect
no,
of,
Dell,
hey, you're valuable to us, so we're giving you something in return.
Hold on a second.
But
Lance,
that's how it works.
You know what? They also give away academic scholarships. All the time. And you know what?
And those people can make money.
They can make money.
I'm with you, John. On that one, I'm 100% with you. It's archaic that you have one set of rules for one group and another. Look, you might want to put stipulations in place. I get that. You don't want it to just be free reign because the problem is, and you know this, the no-show jobs and all that stuff, there's a big issue with you, teams and universities are able to bag men can pay guys off. With fake jobs and all that stuff. So there's obviously some concerns that they have there. But with that said, and that's where it's not fair because the academic scholarships don't have any of those limitations. You can go work and do whatever you need to do. That stuff's archaic and has got to be changed. But to say that it doesn't, like, well, the school is benefiting it, once again, if you take their scholarship money. You play by their rules. I don't care. You can say it's not fair. You don't like this or that. But the fact is, what you're talking about is it's not fair for a smaller percentage of players who will go on to be pros and make the money and all that, or most of Alabama, for example. But for a majority, and still a high majority of players, they do not get a sniff of the NFL. And I'm talking about a high majority.
No, no. We know
they
that.
Don't get a sniff. So no. We got to quit acting like everything is unfair to every athlete, because I don't think everything's – I think it's unfair to the top 10% of the athletes, maybe even a smaller percentage than that. It's not unfair to every athlete. The work rules are unfair to
that's
me.
Right. It's unfair.
You've got to be able to make some money that way. And I think you should be able to sign autographs and make money, too.
That's so right. That's right. Use your fame. And listen, and the schools – well, we'll go broke if we have to pay them any more money. No. Let the economics take care of itself in the open market. That's what will take care of it.
Dell, would you like to play the college football game again?
Yes.
Here's the best way to do that.
Pay the
player likenesses, player names, and take the licensing fees and spread it across college football, college basketball.
How would that
be? Every player gets the same amount. It may not. I don't know how much it would end up being.
And
take every licensing fee.
And then Dell can put Olale on the back of the running back's jersey and run around real fast.
I don't like doing that. It's cheesy. I'll just put Leonard Fournette's name on the back of his LSU 7 jersey, because that's who he is, and I'll just play it that way.
And then you'll play. And then you'll run.
You
right
go in. Through the whole roster. Then and you'll run.
People do that.
And then you'll.
Oh, my brother did that.
And then you'll limp off the field.
Yeah, my ankle hurts.
Your ankle
injury.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll always have the red cross next to you.
Yeah. And then you'll look like you're 40. Okay, when you're really a college kid? Okay.
You'd be A'shaun Robinson to look like somebody from the Deuce.
Time to talk H.R.P. Listen, this is the deal, right? I know Mike Holly, he would hire kids if they'd let him. U of H kids if they'd let him, but what? Can't. What? Well, Mike Holly is a U of H former player who used to block for Andre Ware and got the job done. Listen, if you're looking for a great way to help out a U of H, if you're a Coug, you have got to go with H.R.P. That's a lock. But everybody should. David Gow went to Williams. You think he cares about that? No. But what he did care about was getting the best HR and payroll company for his company. And H.R.P. has been awesome for us. We love him. I've already got my W-2 or whatever it is that I for my taxes. They already sent it to me. They're on top of every single thing. If you go and see their operation, the computer system that they have, and how unbelievably organized and how well run this business is, it is spectacular. And it's worldwide now. It's not just here in the city of Houston. And if you have branches, if you have a huge company with branches all over and your payroll and your HR company is just not getting it done, well, ours does. HRP.net, HRP.net. And tax time is coming, and what a headache that is for your business. It's not for ours. Ask Laura Beavers. Call here to the station and ask her how good HRP is for us with our Affordable Care Act and our taxes. Unbelievable. So if you're looking for that company that's going to help you this time of the year, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Voted Red Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
All right, got to talk about hoops right now. Hoops, sporting goals, and equipment. It is awesome. ProDunkHoops.com, ProDunkHoops.com. Weather's getting nicer again. We're going to have all spring. The kids are going to be out there. They're going to watch the NCAA tournament. They're watching the NBA. They're watching all the guys. They're going to watch. You know, the only thing that Clint Capella does, according to Kevin Durant, is dunk. And your kid wants to dunk. Well, he can't dunk because he's short and really can't jump at all. And really kind of maybe a little heavy and white. And he just can't possibly dunk. So here's the thing, is you can lower the goal, okay? Lower the goal so your kid can feel like he's Clint Capella dunking on fools. And all you got to do is go to ProDunkHoops.com, and Keith Tate will bring you the best goal in the market with the tempered glass backboard and the breakaway rims. I don't know why they call it a breakaway rims, because it won't break. You can hang on it all day. And then the unrustable Rust-Oleum standard stanchion, whatever it is, and you can put your names on it. They got stenciling, they got lights, they got all the accessories as well. They can stencil your court. All you got to do is go to ProDunkHoops.com, find out for yourself. Just get the best goal ever. 281-351-9822 or ProDunkHoops.com.
is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, let's go. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. We got some callers, guys, that want to get in here. Leah's been waiting a while. Hey, Lee, what do you say?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, man?
Doing well. So we're talking about athletes not being able to work or be hired by some of these companies, but is there a way around that? What if they got their own, like, 1099, DBA, or their parents? Like, I mean, is that even something that's possible? Or,
well, first of all, you know how much time they're putting into their sports. It is even in the off season. I got a college athlete, and he said it's unbelievable. In the off season, he puts probably more time into it than he does during the regular season. There's just no time for them to go work, and plus the NCAA won't allow it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, I just didn't know if there's a loophole or some way around it.
No, actually, but a punter from Central Florida or South Florida who. He did these, I don't know if it, what his videos, I can't remember if they were trick shots or what they were.
YouTube,
he
was making, yeah, something.
Yeah, he was making money
on
his YouTube video casts, and because he made, you know, YouTube, you can do for-profit stuff. Obviously, if you get a certain amount of views, they will start to embed advertisements in your videos, and he was making money on it, and the NCAA said, no, this is illegal. You're on scholarship. You can't do this, and so he had to decide between the two, and he chose YouTube over college, which, you know, let's face it, if the kid makes $50,000 a year, now how much of that you wonder is going to be, you know, if it's tied to his success as a college punter too, or his fame or whatever it is, then that's probably not going to last forever. But let's say he's doing something that's looks like it's got some staying power, and he makes $150,000 a year. Well, I mean, why would you not quit, pay for the college, go back, and if you want to go to college, go pay for it yourself and keep making the money on your YouTube videos? Why not do that? Unless he's going to be an NFL punter, which, you know, I don't know. I hadn't studied him, but.
No. And what are the odds?
A lot of those guys.
What are the odds? Having, right?
No, I mean, you might get three drafted in a year, and usually you only get two.
Yeah. Someone is anonymous and they want to get in here and talk about paying college athletes. All right.
Please, I hope their voices. I just want to know if you were going to be the king.
You
want
it
to be an anonymous voice.
You want him to be Bane. Okay.
Hello. Okay. And look, I've got a question about this.
All right. We got the black light on you. We got all the lights off. Let's hear from Anonymous. Yeah. What do you say, Anonymous Source?
Oh, what's up, guys? It's not nothing too crazy. I'll just make two comments and hang up and listen. I played college football in the last 10 years, and coming out of high school, I got about $1,500 a semester in scholarships just from high school that I ended up having to surrender to be on scholarship in college rather than being able to use that money to, you know, help buy clothes and put gas in my car and stuff. So just kind of a cruddy deal there. Second thing is my coach, who's one of the most beloved coaches in the last 10 years. I'm not sure if this is completely legal or not. That's why I didn't want to say anything. When we graduated, he bought the nicest custom suit for all of his players. So 25 or 30 guys a year. When you graduated and you were off the team, so those guys could go get job interviews and, you know, just a nice thing that he did. One of those guys that's making all the money, kind of giving a little bit back to the guys that aren't going to the NFL. Appreciate you guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, that was really illegal. But
after they were out?
Yeah.
Even after they graduate, he can't buy former players' stuff?
No, you absolutely can. You can, but technically, like, are they technically off scholarship?
What if they're off scholarship?
Yeah, you can.
I don't know.
You're just a grown man buying another grown man a suit.
I know that's – isn't that – wouldn't that be a form of pay? I mean, if
– it's payment.
I'm telling you, I would bet you that would be illegal because then they would say, well, that could be a promise that you could make to a recruit or – if the recruit found out that afterwards I'm going to be paid for what I did here, then
that's a tricky one because I understand what you're saying because it does sound like you can make that a a balloon. That's like a balloon payment after you're done.
Oh, trust me. That's oh, trust me. That's so illegal. That is so illegal.
But even if you're off a scholarship, you can't buy anything for your guy anymore.
No.
What's the limit? You can't buy a guy a drink. You're in a bar 3 years later. Is that when's it legal?
Yeah. See, I don't know. I don't know.
I want to buy you a dinner, man.
So
you
a former coach has never paid for dinner for one of us. I mean, a coach never paid for dinner for a former player a year after they're done.
Clearly, he has. They buy suits.
Well, I'm just saying, what's illegal and what's not? A coach has never sat down with like a former player of his. We just have dinner together. That can't happen either.
I'm sure it can't. Have you ever seen the NCAA rule book for coaches? Coaches rule book. All right.
So no. So Barry Switzer never had a meal with one of his former players. Never.
No, just drinks.
Well, that too. Never, huh?
Never. Never. No, I'm telling you, I'll bet you whatever that is illegal for him to buy them suits after they're done with their scholarships, and because he's only doing it for his players. If he did it for every student that left the school, he could.
But he's doing it as a thank you, which is that's pretty cool.
Oh, it's really cool.
Coach is doing that. I think it's really cool.
It's really, and he should be able to. Okay. Oh, could he buy him a car? Every kid that left after his program.
I wouldn't care.
No, I know you, and I wouldn't care either. Could he buy him a car?
No,
well, if he can't buy,
I see what you're saying, because then it turns into balloon payment stuff at the end to try to get around.
Yeah, right.
To sneak around.
Right. It's a payment, and so would the suit be. And so with dinner, and no coaches.
What do you think about that, though? Is that different? If you get a high school scholarship, that doesn't seem right. That if you get a scholarship through like a high school foundation or a neighborhood foundation, that should, first of all, A, keep your mouth shut about it. A, if you get a full ride at a university, you take that check and you shut your mouth and you go cash it and you go spend it on what you need to spend it on. But that seems weird that. If you have something that is not university sanctioned and has in no way tied to the university and is something that is from a hometown foundation or something, should you have to give that back? That seems a little strange.
Mm. Yes, you should have to give it back. Yes, okay. You should. Okay. It's so stupid.
I can hear the facetiousness.
Because the NCAA is worried about improprieties. Yeah, as opposed to, but Michigan State, that's going to be just fine. Let's not worry about what went down at Michigan State. Let's worry about a kid having a YouTube, making some money off YouTube. That's more important.
It's outside their purview, the Michigan State thing. That's what they'll tell everybody.
Can I read a story to you guys that's a real live story?
It's a real live story? Yes.
Yeah. Gamers can be a little off sometimes, right? Some of them.
Mm-hmm.
A woman named Fractal Huracan has fallen in love with the game Tetris after her romance with a calculator ended. Fractal, who hails from Florida, explained to hosts Holly Willoughby and Philip Schofield that she was in love with the game and has an intimate relationship with it. Phil explained that she became involved with objects from around the age of 7, then later began a relationship with a calculator named Pierre de Fermat. Fractal explained that around the age of 7, she just decided that I like monorails and iPods and treadmills. But what was it about the calculator that piqued her interest? Fractal said, quote, "Well, I thought that Pierre is really beautiful, and I love the buttons on him, and the trackpad is beautiful, and I just loved his function." She added that his name had given him personality and a persona. However, Pierre the calculator broke, which caused Fractal to end a relationship with him. It was then that she began the relationship with Tetris. I'm in love with the game himself, and the cartridge is a means and a vessel of presenting him.
I don't understand any of this story. She's in love with treadmills and calculators?
She's in love with objects, different types of objects.
What does she do with them?
Like,
what does she do with those, Lance?
I don't think what you think.
Well, what do you think?
I think she just loves them and kisses them and holds them and snuggles and pulls their hair out from behind their ear and stuff like that and takes care of them when they're sick.
This is the stupidest. Okay,
she sought help online and found some support groups. It really helped her learn to cope with the condition,
okay,
which is known as objectphilia. the attraction to inanimate objects. No, really, if you saw this girl, you would 100% say this is accurate.
No, there's no – well, I don't know. I haven't seen her.
Have you ever fallen in love with a Coors Light beer can?
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Now who's talking about objectphilia? Or a putter? Or a favorite golf ball that got you 3 birdies in a round?
That's right.
Really? You haven't fallen in love with a beer can?
I've fallen in love with plenty of Coors Lights. Plenty of them. Why are you going to limit me?
One.
But why are you going to limit me to one Coors Light? I'm not one Coors Light man.
It could be multiple. Before we get to the top of the hour here, I got another one.
We got to go because we got to get on 94.1.
Oh,
so do it on the other side. Yeah, that's what 94.1's got to look forward to.
That's right. Well, what you have to look forward to right now is Men's Tea Clinic and a call to 713-568-1175. They opened at 8, so they're open right now. And if you're someone who, and I tell you, if there's a general malaise that is set in, you're always fatigued, you're tired, either maybe you're too tired to go work out, like you don't have the drive to do that, or maybe your workouts aren't mattering as much, and you're noticing those belt loops keep changing on you, the belt holes, you're like, ooh, I had to just go from one belt hole to the other, and I'm still working out the same. That is a classic case of low testosterone, where you don't have the same lean muscle mass. You don't convert the belly fat to lean muscle mass. That's one of them. A lot of times people thought low testosterone, that's got to, you know, have to do with libido. It can, but it doesn't have to. There's a lot of different symptoms. You might have one or two, you might have several, but you can have them treated at Men's Tea Clinic. You see actual providers who will monitor your dosage. They will monitor how you're doing. They test you quarterly to see where your levels are, and they make sure they get it right so that you live your best life, and they get you back to being the real you. Make sure that you go to Men's Tea Clinic. There's two locations with a third opening, 290 in Barker Cypress. You've got the location at I-10 and Durham at 1801, and then you've got brand new one in Pearland opening up at Shadow Creek Ranch at 288. Go to menstclinic.com.
Preach on, brother.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
All right, time to talk about Absolute Marble and Granite. My man, Jeff Aronoff, please get over to Jeff Aronoff and let him take care of your business. And by business, I mean you're in business and you got a crappy countertop, or people want to use your restroom and the vanity is just gross. And it's really not all that big a deal for you to upgrade and get this job done. Jeff Aronoff is going to give you 20% off. And how much is it hurting your business when people see this? Or they go to your house and they're like, wow, this is interesting, this vanity that you, or this fireplace, or this countertop, or this lack of outdoor patio, lack of outdoor kitchen. It's time to upgrade. It's time to put some money back into your business. It's time to put some money back into your home. If you don't do these things, then they're just going to, first of all, you're not making any money. And secondly, how are you going to sell that house? You got to keep it up to date. Let Jeff Aronoff do that. Now's a great time. The holidays are all over time. The kids are in school, so you can get that job done while the kids aren't there. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. Time to upgrade with Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite.